Good afternoon, Alice.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Hello, everybody. And we're here today to discuss trademarks. I am the founder of the Trademark Room, and I am a solicitor of over 20 years with experience of both trademarks and non-trademarks, really. But I'm here to talk today about trademarks and how brilliant they are. Right, Alice?
Indeed, yeah.
So, when you are starting out in business, what's the most important thing you need to do? In your view, Alice, and I'll give you my view.
In my view, I would say the important thing to do is make sure that you are unique and you are not stepping on anyone else's toes, so that your focus can be what you love to do, whether that's selling products, offering services. You can focus on the important part of your business and not have to spend your money on fighting other people.
I lie in bed at night thinking of the way to answer this, and I think I've cracked it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So, you've got a blank piece of paper, and if you're starting out in business... Oh, sorry, I keep hitting the table. You have a blank piece of paper, and you're starting out in business. So, are you going to be a sole trader? Are you going to be a partnership? Are you going to be a limited company? They're the three vehicles, and you could throw in a charity perhaps. But for the purposes of this, it's three vehicles. You could be a sole trader, a limited company, and a partnership. Are we agreed?
Yep.
So with those three vehicles, you're going to have the capacity to file and to consider setting up a company, having a name for your partnership or a name for you as a sole trader. So it's important that before you embark on any of those three, you do a cursory Google to check that name's available.
Yeah.
I know you've covered this, but it's so important. You do a cursory Companies House.
Yes.
You do a cursory Who Is, and Who Is being the organisation that controls and governs domain names. And so you do those three, and you sort of have an indication of what's out there. And if the domain names come up which are identical to yours, it's sort of a bit of an indication that, oh, you're going to have a problem here with your brand. Yeah. Agreed?
Yeah. I think just to add to the point there, a lot of people potentially are confused between company names and trademarks, in that they think just because they hold the registered company name means that they can get the trademark, and that isn't the case, which is like why, like you said, it's important to do all three of those searches, the Google, the domain, and the company, so you're getting as much information as possible.
Because the company name is just the name of the vehicle. I call it a vehicle. It is a vessel. It is a little car that carries around your business as you go along. And in that car, you're going to have things owned by that company. So you're going to have employees, you're going to have data, you're going to have buildings and property, and in addition, you're going to have a name. And so that's why it's so important that you establish that there is the name available, both companies and trademarks. But you're right to say that the trademark is in the unregistered sense. You don't need any approval as such to file a company name, as long as you are identically matching as an existing registration and or passing off that brand. So you look at the domains, look at the company's house, look at Google, and then you can think, okay, you know what? Out of those three, the sole trader, the partnership, or the limited company, I'm now going to file a trademark because I think that's the way forward. And if you've got that foundation in place, knowing that you've done the searches, then it's worthwhile considering registering and discussing it with us. Now, when you come to us, as previously alluded to in the last podcast, which I was sitting in on, but I just didn't join in, Laura, my trainee, she was very good in explaining the process and why we do searches. And we've sent you this link to this video, and if you're listening to this, sorry, not video, an audio, because you've phoned in to ask for an inquiry, and it's relevant to this inquiry is that you do searches via the UKIPO. There's a fact sheet that you'll find here as well, but the UKIPO is a database that we all go to in order to ensure that the trademark is viable. It's available.
Yeah.
The searching process really is important because it's not so much identical trademarks and identical trademarks. It's where the trademark is similar.
Mm.
And that's where we earn our corn, and that's where we're brought in to advise clients as to whether or not they would be successful in opposing a trademark.
Yeah, our importance lies in the grey area and the subjective nature of similarity and what I may think is similar, Michael may not, someone else may not, but it's understanding how that similar nature is decided upon and considered and what additional factors you may need to consider when looking at it and giving you a view on how similar it may be, what is the level of risk, and how we can help you maybe eliminate that risk or reduce it or actually fight for it and move past it.
I'm often asked, can we do it ourselves? And the answer to that is yes. If you have, and I've had a few people over the years say, oh my God, you boys, it's so easy. And, you know, if you have a distinctive trademark in goods and services that are easily identifiable, it may well sail through. And you can do it yourself, but there was a very few and far between.
Yeah.
And like most things, you scratch on the surface and you start going down rabbit holes. It can be quite complicated.
Yeah.
But in principle, sure, you can do it yourself. And the UKIPO is really good at that and really good at explaining and highlighting. And do spend some time on the UKIPO in order to do your searches and to see what's out there.
Yeah, it's a good pool of resources. I mean, like anything, if you're driving down a newly tarmacked road, then everything will sail through. But we've seen many a pothole. So, like you say, it's actually very rare that these trademarks will sail through and you will happen upon a unique name that no one's ever heard of in unique goods and services, whereas actually 99% of the cases need an expert's eye on it to sort of show you the potential problems before you take the plunge and put that money down.
No, very much so. I think from memory, a few years ago, I was told by the UKIPO that about 1 in 20 were opposed. I'm sure the statistics that are up to date, which we'll look into perhaps in the next podcast. So 1 in 20 applications are opposed. Now, what that means is that when the application is filed, it sort of triggers a two-stage process. The first process is the examiner, the civil servant at the UKIPO will review the application. And secondly, once approved, it's then advertised for 2 months, at which point any other rights holders can make any observations and oppositions to you. But you can only get to that stage once you get past the first stage. For those marks on the continent, for those owners on the continent or intended people on the continent who are interested in filing in the UK, the opposition period is the same as the EU IPO, 2 months. In the US, it's 1 month. 3 months, is it?
3 months in the EU. In the US, it's 2 months.
And 3 months in
the
UK.
But the US system is a whole different kettle of fish, which I'm sure we'll cover in a separate podcast at some stage.
Yes, yes, yes. But in terms of the EU's 3 months, we're 2 months.
Yes.
But that, again, underlines the importance of searching. And so for those continental cousins who are looking to file UK trademarks, remember, you've got a month less window for the opposition, but we do urge you to not necessarily carry out the same searches because presumably you're coming to us with an EU filing.
But of course, the UK is now a completely separate jurisdiction, so we can no longer assume that. I mean, it's highly likely that if you're filed in the UK, you may be filed in the EU, but it is important to look at both. They are separate jurisdictions.
So here's a question for you, Alice Sweetenham. Can I be Pierre Coyle from Paris with a trademark Laudit? And can I have a Laudit trademark in the UK? Can we both live together?
Potentially, yes. So in order for you to block a trademark, you have to have rights within that jurisdiction. So if you didn't hold any rights in the EU or in France, where this new trademark is being filed.
Completely new trademark, no history. I file in the UK, Laudit, and there's a French trademark filed the same day, Laudit. They can live perfectly happy together because they're two exclusive jurisdictions.
Yes, exactly that. Think about every country being surrounded by a very high fence. Trademarks can't jump over high fences. You are in the jurisdiction that you're in. unless you have unregistered rights or use in another jurisdiction, your trademark solely can only live in its fenced area. So it is important that you think about expanding globally, and in those countries where you actively trade, thinking about registering your trademark there. Just by having, say, a UK trademark doesn't mean that you're done and dusted.
Perfect, perfect. So in the old days, of course, if pre-Brexit, if you had a UK trademark, that would be sufficient to prevent an EU trademark being filed, but yes, not necessarily the French trademark.
No, because the UK was part of the EU, your EU trademark granted you protection in the UK. So because of that link there, you were able to sort of block it. But you would need that national link. So the UK matches the UK. You wouldn't be able to use the UK to block France. There is no match there.
Okie dokie.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Michael. Thank you for this chat. And if anyone's got any other questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch with Michael, myself, or any other members of the team. Laudit.co.uk for all our contact details. And yeah, we'll speak to you again soon.
Fantastic. Well done. Thanks, Alice.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.